SWAT cars. General Motors and their dealer organization throughout Southern Africa proudly bring you the drama, the danger, the thrills, and the facts when the long arm of the law travels in squad cars.
And from squad cars to another talking point.
These men, all they can talk about are the new 69 records.
Biggest capacity 4 on the market. They're 2.5 litre. Does it travel?
Me, I'm the shiftless type. I like the automatic transmission on the Record 6. Did you know it's a pucker cam-in head engine?
They really started something with that notchback styling.
Okay, you tell me, where else can you get economical 2-liter engines, power-assisted brakes and front discs? Plus things like their energy-absorbing steering column at that kind of price.
I was coming back from Potch the other day when I noticed that...
Still at it. Let's talk about something interesting. Tell me, Daff, what inspired your new color scheme?
Oh, well, I saw these new opal color-keyed interiors and I was...
Opal Record 69. Good news travels fast.
The story you're about to hear is true. Details are supplied from the official case files by the South African police. Only names and places have been changed to protect innocent people involved.
The time, 9:15 a.m. on the 9th of October. The place, a well-known Johannesburg department store. A woman in late middle age is walking towards a store exit. She passes through to the pavement out in the street.
Excuse me, madam.
Yes?
I wonder if you'd be so kind as to produce your receipts or sales dockets for the goods you've purchased.
Purchased?
Yes.
But I didn't buy anything.
I'm a store floor walker. I've had you under surveillance for the last 10 minutes.
And what does that mean?
I saw you put on the cardigan of a twin set. Then you put your coat on top of it.
Did I?
Yes, you did. The other part of the twin set is in your bag.
Oh, dear. How silly of me.
I'm afraid I must ask you to accompany me to the manager's office.
What for?
It'll be up to him what is done about the matter.
What do you mean, done?
Shoplifting is a very serious offence, madam. It's punishable by a fine or a period of imprisonment.
But it was a mistake. I intended paying for them.
You can argue with the manager then, madam. If you'll come this way, please.
Have you any previous convictions for this sort of thing?
How dare you talk to me in that fashion?
Madam, I've heard people bluster like this before. I'm afraid it won't wash. You were caught red-handed.
You talk as I were a criminal. I'm a perfectly respectable member of the public. I don't have to steal your things. I have money. Look here.
Yes, 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 they all say that.
Can't I pay for the twin set?
I'm afraid it's too late for
that. But think of the disgrace. What will my family say?
You should have stopped to consider the results of your little spree before you embarked upon it. Members of the public, some of them, seem to think that stores such as this are fair game. They get a kick out of walking off with goods and merchandise without paying for them. Do you know what percentage of our stock is stolen every year? At least 1%. That doesn't sound very much. But when you consider that 1% is worth approximately 1.5 million rand, you begin to understand what a serious problem this is. And over the years, it's become the policy of this store and the policy of similar stores in Johannesburg and throughout the country to be absolutely ruthless.
Are you going to prosecute me?
Yes.
But the disgrace! I've never been involved in a scandal like this before.
As I said, you should have thought of all that before. I'm afraid it's too late now.
Yes, Mr. Brenner?
Call the flying squad, please, in case of shoplifting.
Yes, Mr. Brenner.
When they arrive, they're to come to my office.
Certainly.
Oh, I'm in such a state. I can't believe this is happening. Not to me. What am I going to do?
I suggest you accept the fact that you're going to be prosecuted.
Then, may I phone my attorney?
By all means.
Thank you.
Yes, Mr. Brenner?
Give me a line, will you, please?
Certainly, Mr. Brenner.
Here you are.
Thank you.
Do you want a directory?
No, thank you. I know the number. Hello? It's me. Mrs. Mitchley, I'm being arrested for shoplifting. They've sent for the flying squad. They should be here any time now. Just a minute. Where'll they take me?
To John Forster Square, I should think.
John Forster Square. Yes, all right. Goodbye.
You've behaved very foolishly. And all for the sake of a twin set worth £7.50.
9:37 a.m. The streets of the city are not yet busy with morning shoppers. The traffic is thin, allowing Car 13 to cruise comfortably along President Street West. The car is driven by Sergeant Fenter and crewed by Constable Malloy.
The town's pretty quiet, Sarge.
Yeah, there's no money about at the moment. I'll just wait till the end of the month.
Control to Car 13, come in. Over.
Receiver, you control. Over.
State your position. Over.
We're in President Street, just passing the City Hall. Over.
Any other cars in that vicinity? Over. All right, 13. Proceed to Johnson's department store in Eloff Street. A case of shoplifting's been reported. You're to go up to the manager's office. Over.
Received. Over and out.
Well, that's the first today, eh? Shoplifting case, I mean.
Great.
Yeah, keeps us busy when we should be attending to more important matters. Still, it's all part of the job.
It doesn't take the two policemen long to pick up Mrs. Midgley and take her down to the car parked in an Eloff Street loading zone. The next stop is John Forster Square, where the prisoner will be charged. 9:52 a.m. Eloff Street. A 66 Berwick glides to a halt at the curbside outside a well-known jeweler's. The near side front door opens. And out steps a man, a hat pulled down over his eyes, his jacket collar turned up. He's carrying an iron bar. Quickly, he crosses the pavement and smashes the jeweler's large plate glass window. With unhurried efficiency, the man who's smashed the window drops the bar to the pavement and scoops the window's valuables into a leather grip thrown to him by the driver of the car. It all happens so quickly that startled bystanders just stand and stare, and the staff of the jewelers stand petrified, not knowing what to expect or what to do. One man, however, a Mr. Fine, the manager of the shop, seizes the telephone before the robber has recrossed the pavement to get back into the car.
Constable Mayworth speaking.
Quickly, we've been robbed. We have been robbed. There they go now.
Where are you speaking from, please?
Mendelow's, the jeweler's in Eloff Street.
Which way are they going?
South. If you'll hurry, you'll catch them.
What sort of car is it?
It's a Berwick, light green.
Registration number?
That I don't know. I'm in the shop, you see.
One other thing, sir. What's your name, please?
Fine. Ernest Fine. I'm the manager here.
Fine. Righto, sir. We'll get onto it right away.
Control to Car 13. Come in, 13. Over. Do you read me, 13? Over.
24 to Control. Over.
Come in, 24. Over.
Weren't they on that shoplifting complaint? Over.
Oh, that's right. They must have taken their prisoner to the charge office. Is there any other car in the vicinity of Eloff Street? Over.
Oh, we'll take it, Control. Car 31. Over.
Smash and grab at Mendelow's jewelers in Eloff Street. The getaway car was seen making off in a southerly direction. Over.
We're coming up from behind the station. Do you want us to go to the shop or give chase? Over.
Proceed to the shop. Over.
All right, we're on our way, Control. Over and out.
Now here's a call to all cars. Be on the lookout for a light green Berwick motor car. Its occupants are wanted for questioning in connection with a smash and grab in Eloff Street.
10:35 a.m., in response to a call from radio headquarters, Lieutenant Nick DeBrain of the Brixton Robbery Squad goes down to Mendelow's and interviews Mr. Fine, the manager.
You know, Lieutenant, we have guns, alarm systems, everything. But when it happened, we all stood around like tailor's dummies. I wouldn't have thought it possible in broad daylight.
The element of surprise, Mr. Fine. What did they get away with?
The contents of my best window. Expensive diamond rings, gold, jewelry.
What was the approximate value?
There's nothing approximate about it, Lieutenant. I can tell you exactly. 27,000 rand.
That's a lot of money. Are you insured?
Of course. But now the premium, which is already sky high, will be astronomical. It's not to mention the inconvenience and the shock. Mrs. Doyle, well, I had to send her home.
It's a good thing nobody was hurt. Did you get a good look at any of these men?
No, it was the same with everybody. I've asked already. It all happened so quickly, you see.
Yes, quite. Has anybody interfered with that stuff on the pavement?
You mean the glass and a piece of iron?
Yes.
No, we know enough about detectives from the bioscope not to interfere with stuff at the scene of the crime.
AM. Lieutenant O'Brien confers with the brigadier in charge of the CID.
We haven't had one like this for a long time.
Well, they've certainly made up for it this time, sir. 27,000 rand.
Find anything?
No, sir. They smashed the window with a steel bar. It's old and rusty. I've sent it over to Pretoria to the government laboratories. I conducted a preliminary examination of the thing myself, but I found nothing.
Nothing else?
No, sir. I went over the area 3 or 4 times. The pavement, the gutter, where the car was parked. Nothing.
Brigadier Pelzer.
Warrant officer Olivier, sir. Stolen vehicle staff. We just received a report about a light green Berwick. It's been found abandoned behind a coal merchant's yard in Waverley. It's a stolen vehicle, sir. We had a report about it being taken from beneath a block of flats in Hillbrow last night. It has false number plates, sir. It occurred to me that perhaps it was a car used in that Elof Street job this morning.
Sounds likely. Tell your men that I'm passing the information to Lieutenant De Bruyne, who's in charge of the case.
All right, sir.
Stolen vehicle staff. They think they've found that light green Berwick. Coal merchant's yard, Waverley. You'd better get out there with a fingerprint man. It might provide a lead.
Right, sir. Oh, well, it seems we've got a beauty on our hands this time.
The 10th of October, 9:47 a.m., Rosebank, Johannesburg. Morning shoppers are suddenly startled by the sound of breaking glass. This is followed by the screech of a car's tires. Then there are shouts and shots.
Stop thieves! Stop them!
I didn't see a thing. I just got the shock of my life when I heard a thump and the sound of breaking glass both together. I looked up. I was serving a customer at the time, and he cleared the window in no time at all, jumped into the car reversed, and then drove off up the pavement. Of course, I was out in the street in no time. I keep a gun handy, you see, and I fired after them, but it didn't stop them, I'm afraid. They just bounced down the curb, through the gap in the parked cars left by the loading zone, and off they went, out north.
So they rammed your window?
Yes, most audacious thing I've ever encountered.
A risky thing to do. They might have damaged their car, rendered it immobile.
Oh, didn't I tell you? They took the precaution of tying a massive plank across the grill and the headlights. Oh, just look at my window.
Yes, exciting entertainment.
And if you're looking for exciting and rewarding motoring, meet our irresistible force, the 2.5-litre bombshell from Opel Records 69 Stable. This one's got the punch of an iron fist in a velvet glove and outstanding economy. It's cradled on full-coil suspension, handled by 4 on the floor, halted by power-assisted brakes with discs up front. Records 2.5-litre travels like the good news it is, in 2 magnificent shapes. Sleekly exciting sedan and superbly styled hardtop coupe. If you think they look good on your driveway, you should see how they shape on the highway.
Opel Record 69, the 2.5-litre bombshell.
p.m. Lieutenant O'Brien is in records compiling a list of known smash-and-grab specialists.
Age, 34. Height, 5 foot, 11 three-quarter inches. Color of hair, brown. Color of eyes, blue. Scars on both kneecaps and behind left ear. Previous convictions in 58 and again in 63. Known associates, Peter Deventhal, Vincent Swart and Maria Esther Skippers.
Cup of coffee, Lieutenant.
Ah, yes. Very welcome, thanks.
Yeah. Cigarette?
Have one of mine.
Ah, thanks. Well, that's quite a list you've got there.
It's going to take me and my colleagues days to work through it.
Yes, I feel for your aching feet.
No. We'll have a car. A car? I wonder. Thanks for the coffee.
But you haven't drunk it.
Some other time. Thank you.
3:50 p.m. Lieutenant Brain has driven to Brixton. There, in an office adjoining the radio control room, he speaks to the officer in charge of the flying squad, Colonel Hrodlar.
This is an extremely long shot, sir, but it occurred to me not so very long ago to wonder what the cars you had in town the day before yesterday and the cars you had in the Rosebank area were doing at the time of the robberies.
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
Well, each area is covered by certain cars. No matter what happens, whatever sort of crime is committed, a squad car isn't very far away. Now, both Mendelos and Archers dialed 30 immediately. They lost no time in making their complaints. And yet, in each case, the robbers made a complete getaway.
My men can't be everywhere, Lieutenant.
I realize that, sir. But it just occurred to me to wonder what the cars in those areas were concerned with at the time of the robbery. It's an extremely long shot, I admit, and it may come to nothing. But I am up against it, sir. I have to check everything. Even my hunches.
Yeah, all right. What time were these robberies committed?
9:52 at Mendelow's yesterday. That's the 9th. And today they pulled the job at Archer's in Roansbank at almost the same time, 10 to 10.
10 to 10. Yeah. Major Kutcher, I want that report for the morning of the 9th and today's. And they'll be through right away. Colonel Hrodlar. Just a minute. It's for you.
Oh, thank you, sir. Lieutenant De Brain. Where? Ah, good. You'd better inform Detective Sergeant Pringle. Yes. Yes, he's the man who checked the other one for me. Right. They found the stolen car that was used to pull this morning's job, sir. A white Marauder. It was abandoned on an old building site out in Sandown.
Well, perhaps your colleague will be lucky.
I hope so, sir.
Major Kutzer says he's through, sir.
Oh, good. Now, let's see. 9:52. Here we are. The car in that area was number 13. Shoplifting case.
And this morning, sir?
9:50, wasn't it? Car 42. Also busy with a shoplifting case. Department store in the Rosebank, corner of Tirrett Avenue.
That could be significant, sir.
Yeah. A woman called Mrs. Midgley was arrested yesterday and charged at John Forster Square. This morning it was a Mrs. Barcason, Parkview Police Station.
I wonder.
You mean if there could be a tie?
Yes, sir.
What will you do?
I think a few discreet inquiries wouldn't come amiss, sir. And the results of those inquiries are as follows. Mrs. Midgley has a son. He's 26. He's unemployed. He's well-dressed and drives a new car. Apparently, he hasn't worked for 3 years.
Go on.
And this Mrs. Barkason is a youngster. She's only 19. She has an elder brother and he is 23. Also unemployed.
Seems to be more than a coincidence.
I reckon so, sir. Because Midgley's daughter is married to Mrs. Barkason's brother.
Ah, a family affair.
It's a big family, sir. They have a reputation for being tough.
Where do they live?
Railway Terrace, Mayfair.
Shall we rope them in?
I'd sort of like to catch them at it, sir.
How do you propose to do that?
They've been so successful with the job they've pulled, I'm sure they'll feel compelled to do it again.
There's no guarantee they will.
Well, I'm sure you'll agree with me, sir, when I say that such types are more than cocky. They get positively swollen-headed when they've succeeded in pulling big jobs like Mendelow's and Archer's. They reckon they aren't to a good scheme.
The scheme being that they send a female member of the family into a department store. Her instructions are that she's to indulge in shoplifting. It has to be obvious, so she'll get caught. They know that the stores are very hot on this sort of thing. The store calls the flying squad, we send a car, the car takes the prisoners to be charged at a police station. And while the car is busy doing that, the boys, having pinched a car, time their operation so that the squad car will be far away from where they intend pulling the job. They move in, do it, and buzz off. Pretty shrewd.
But not shrewd enough, sir.
You have a plan?
I think so, sir. We'll need to confer with Colonel Hrodlar. We need his cooperation.
October October the 12th, 9:45 a.m. All jewelers' shops in the vicinity of large department stores have been plotted on a map in Colonel Chroblar's operations room at Brixton Radio headquarters. Special instructions have been issued. Colonel Chroblar sees to it personally that those instructions are carried out. One of the many phones linking the public with the flying squad suddenly rings.
Police, Constable Maybough speaking.
This is Wentworth and Hillbrough. We've got a shoplifter in the manager's office. We'd like you to send somebody.
They'll be there right away, ma'am.
Thank you.
Miss Southlockett, sir. Wentworth, Hillbrough.
Right. Proceed your D into operation immediately.
And the manager says they'll be taking me to Hillbrough Police Station. That's right. Yes, they sent for the flying squad. All right, I'll see you there. Thanks. Thanks very much. Goodbye. It's my attorney. He'll see me, right?
He won't be able to get you out of this, miss.
Well, so what? It's only a fine.
Unless you have a previous conviction.
Well, I haven't.
Yes, come in.
Good morning, sir. What appears to be the trouble?
How on earth did you get here so quickly?
Easy, sir. I came by motorbike.
But aren't you going to take me away?
You're in rather a hurry, aren't you?
Look, if you think I'm riding to the police station on the back of a motorbike...
Now, wait a minute. Don't get excited. There's no question of that. I'm going to stay here and keep you company until transport becomes available.
9:49 a.m. In a special car, different from the ones normally used by the flying squad, sit two policemen, Sergeant Fenter and Constable Malloy. They're parked in Quartz Street. They're keeping Hertz, the jewelers, under observation.
I'll make it 30 seconds to go, Sergeant.
You nervous?
I'm looking forward to it.
This is Colonel Chroblar to Sergeant Fenter. Over.
Receiving you, sir. Over.
Stand by. It's all going according to pattern. A woman who's been arrested in Wentworth got the shock of her life when one of our men pitched up on a motorbike. She panicked. I've just heard from a constable concerned. The manager said that she made a phone call to her attorney. That's eyewash, obviously. She must have phoned Mitchley and Van Dierfenter. Those are the two men we suspect. She must have phoned them at a cafe or a public phone booth. That's how they've been able to synchronize these operations. According to my reckoning, it's coming up for 0 hour. Now, don't worry. Now that we know where these two monkeys intend operating, I've withdrawn the units from the other places we had under surveillance. They'll be coming to reinforce you from different approaches. Over.
Thanks very much, sir. It's nice to know we can expect company. Over.
Well, good luck. Over and out.
There they are, Sarge.
Hey, where?
There, opposite the shoe store. See? The one in the passenger seat is turning up the collar of his coat.
Yeah, now he's putting on a hat. Come on. This is where we leave the car. We must be on hand to intercept. Just make sure you keep out of sight, eh?
Right, Sarge.
Get tucked in behind this van here.
Right, Sarge.
Okay?
Okay.
Now, if we have to dash across the street in a hurry, just mind you don't get knocked down, eh? Keep an eye open for the cars coming from the left.
I'll watch it.
The car's moving.
Here they come.
Yeah, he's having to double park.
A bit more tricky for them than the last time.
And the time before.
They stopped outside the shop. Shall we go?
Hang on, don't be hasty. They haven't committed any crime yet.
The one from the passenger seat is getting out.
Ah, this is it.
Come on. Yes, sir.
Right, hold it, you two. That's as far as you go. Cover the driver of the car.
Right, Sergeant. Car on, out you. Don't try anything fancy. Keep your hands where I can see them.
Surprised, aren't you, eh?
Come on.
Come on, inside the shop. Yes. Come on, man. Move.
I congratulate you, Lieutenant.
Thank you, sir.
What are those two birds, Midgley and Van Dierfenter, to say for themselves?
That is the trouble, sir. Nothing. It's obviously a family affair, sir. But I'm anxious to know just how many members of the family are mixed up in all this. And I also want to know what little stunts they've pulled before. And finally, there's that jewelry worth 43,000 rand to be accounted for. I'm going to see Mrs. Midgley. See if I can't trick her into a confession. And you've done it once too often. Your son and his pal have been taken into custody.
Oh, what's he been saying?
He's told us how you forced him into a life of crime. You should be ashamed of yourself.
He didn't say that.
I've never come across a case like it. Imagine whipping your own son to make him go out and steal.
You're having me on. He can't say a thing like that.
We've got it in signed statement, Mrs. Midgley.
The dirty little... He's a liar.
I think you'd better make arrangements for somebody to look after the house.
Why?
Because I'm taking you downtown, Mrs. Midgley, on the strength of what your son has told us. I'm afraid I've no choice.
My son's a liar. He's been a wrong one all his life. The boot's very much on the other foot. This is his house. I've got nowhere to go, and he knows it. He threatened me. He said if I didn't help him, he'd put me in an old age home. I was frightened, you see.
Where's that jewelry, Mrs. Midgley?
It's in the bathroom. I'll go and get it for you.
Mrs. Midgley has gone longer than she should be. Lieutenant Debrayne goes to the bathroom door and knocks.
Mrs. Midgley? Mrs. Midgley?
Oh.
Oh, what? Oh, my. You didn't have to do that, Mrs. Midgley.
Mrs. Midgley had inflicted a mortal wound upon her neck with a razor blade. Jewelry was in the bathroom, as she'd said. It was under the bath. Several tiles had been removed to make the hiding place. Further questioning and investigation led to the arrest of 8 people, members of the 2 families, the Midgleys and the Van Deventers. At their subsequent trial, they asked for 37 cases of theft to be taken into account. They received prison sentences ranging from 6 months to 5 years.
Good news travels fast.
Record 69.
The 2.5-liter bombshell, cradled on full coil suspension, handled by 4 on the floor, halted by power-assisted brakes with discs up front. This one's got the punch of an iron fist in a velvet glove. Get the full 69 Opel record story from your Opel dealer.
Opel Records 2.5 liter, the bombshell.
They prowl the empty streets of night, waiting. In fast cars, on foot, living with crime and violence, these men are on duty 24 hours out of every 24. They face dangers at every turn, expecting nothing less. They protect the people of South Africa. They are the men of squad cars. Listen again next Friday evening to another authentic story in our dramatic South African police series, Squad Cars. Brought to you by General Motors, makers of the biggest and most exciting range of cars, trucks, and commercial vehicles in the world. Cadillac, Buick, Oldsmobile, Pontiac, Beaumont, Chevrolet, Opel, Holden, Vauxhall, Bedford, GMC, and Ranger, South Africa's own car.